I'm driving in my car.
How about you let me drive?
Oh, no.
Who's gonna drive you home?
Honey, please, I'll do the driving.
Drive on.
Excuse me, I wanna drive.
Keep driving crazy.
It's the question that drives us.
Keep driving crazy.
This is the Drive to the Close.
That funky music will drive us till the dawn.
On Bloomberg Radio.
All right, we've got 10 and a half minutes left in the trading day. And folks, we're just coming off our best levels of the session, as we've been talking about, Doug Krisner, up really on the NASDAQ, up about 1.2%. So the outperformance there. Let's get to it. Doug Cioka is back, CEO and partner at Kavar Capital Partners, over $1 billion in assets. And he's on the phone from Leawood, Kansas. Doug Cioka, happy, happy new year. How are you?
I am fantastic. Happy New Year to you and Tim as well.
It's really great to have you here. So help me make sense of these first, 5, 6, 7 days of 2022.
Yeah, it's been interesting, right? Fast and furious right out of the gate. And, you know, it's an incredible amount of price dislocation very early. And, you know, we've come to taking, and maybe this may be more of a Midwestern perspective, of this being the anti-Ted Lasso effect.
I like this.
I don't know if you guys are Ted Lasso fans.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We've both seen both seasons.
Yes.
Oh, great. So there's a scene in the first season, and Ted is playing darts, and he suggests to his opponent that he should be curious and not judgmental, right? Mm-hmm. And that is exactly the opposite of what the market tends to do, right? It's always been a collection of investors who are kind of fire-ready aim. And I think that's the worst approach for this market, right? If you're a curious investor, you might ask, what was the best performing industry sector the last tightening cycle?
Right.
If you're a curious investor, you might say, what were the best performing asset classes during the last liquidity extraction? But a judgmental investor is making this impatient determination that a great unwind must be forthcoming because we are transitioning away from an easy money environment, and we just don't think the Fed is going to be so disruptive to corporate prosperity as to warrant some bleak prognostication, particularly when we anticipate earnings to indicate otherwise.
Well, hence, I'm going back to a great comment by Steve Sosnick. Am I saying it right? I think so. I hope so. Steve, let me know if I'm not. But Steve, a comment by him is in one of our Bloomberg write-throughs, and he calls Jay Powell Goldilocks in a suit. And it does feel like, Doug, like I get it. Like it does feel like, even though watching the financial markets is not part of the Fed's mandate, that Jay Powell's not going to want to do anything that is too disruptive in terms of the financial markets, because that impacts a lot of things, certainly in our world. So he's watching a lot of stuff, if you will, in terms of the moves that they're going to make.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think that's a very good way to characterize it. And if you look at just today's trading action, right, with Powell in center stage, and everyone is tuned into what he's saying for two reasons, I think, right? One, was he even more hawkish than he had been in the release of the last meeting's minutes, which came out last Wednesday, which kind of triggered this 30 basis point backup of the 10-year. Number two, did he say anything that was going to imperil his prospects of being reconfirmed? And I think the answer to both of those is no, right? So I think we're seeing a little reversal today, or maybe a relief rally from what has led so far this year. But it is interesting, right? Because can you guys give me an example of when any Fed has exhibited proactivity or successfully issued a preemptive strike? Because I can't, right? Mm-hmm. And by virtue of the fact that they call themselves data-driven, it almost takes it off the table. Yet for some reason, investors expect them to be proactive, but I think the very best we can hope for is a soft landing, and Goldilocks would engineer something that, I guess, the best prospects of engineering something along those lines.
Okay. So take us to your themes of 2022 and help us understand how you can put these theories into practice when it comes to asset allocation and what you're bullish on for the year.
Yeah, thank you. So Tim, we have three themes, right? We really feel like there's going to be an international monetary policy non-conformity, right? Their recovery speeds are alternating around the globe, right? So there are going to be different policy postures predicated on where we are in the cycle of economic recovery coming out of the global pandemic. So there are going to be some direct organic investments into certain countries, and also some what we're calling inorganic or currency-motivated moves to be made in others. So that's our first theme, is international monetary policy non-conformity. Second theme is finally some mean reversion in catching up in international stocks and value stocks. Like, could this be the year where they have their quote-unquote day in the sun? right? And it's been over a decade since international investments had outperformed domestic counterparts, and almost as long for value stocks. But we do feel like the expected returns may finally be at levels that are going to be conducive to elevated portfolio weights in this area. Because if you think about the Fed in a tightening posture, there's likely to be little to no multiple expansion. So in our individual stock portfolios, we think you need to favor better than average earnings growers, and that would thereby impute an absence of high debt levels, those companies that paid dividends, and those also that have a moat of competitive protection, very wide and deep, to pass along higher input prices to their customers.
Right.
That kind of is a characterization of a value stock.
Hey, Doug, let me ask you, though, about some of those big technology names. And, like, you just hear so many people kind of, okay, they've had their day in the sun. Having said that, a lot of these names have great visibility, and they have deep pockets, if you look at their balance sheet, and are able to weather, you know, a lot. What are your thoughts on some of the FANG names that are out there?
Yeah, I think so. I would kind of differentiate the FANG names from some of those companies, Carol, that were the poster children for kind of the speculative excess going into the latter part of an easy money cycle,
mm-hmm.
right? And we're seeing a lot of re-rating in some of those names right now and in some of those categories. So be they meme stocks, crypto stocks, SPAC stocks, right? These are companies that didn't have that type of visibility.
Right.
And I do think if this is a thing, there is also some window undressing that's taking place where portfolio managers that were chasing benchmarks that bought names into the portfolio that they may not be intent on keeping because they'd performed so well over the last 3 to 5 years.
Right.
So we're probably seeing a little bit of rotation cyclically out of some of the tech in general into
right.
some value areas, but ultimately I think there'll be a re-engagement of the FANG stocks because of their high and strong visible corporate growth.
All right, Doug, really just quickly, I want to make sure I've got it right. Anti-Ted Lasso effect. So in other words, we should be curious and not judgmental. Just 10 seconds, right? We should be curious
and not judgmental. Yeah, I mean, if you think about the last tightening cycle, the Fed raised rates 9 times, undertook a balance sheet reduction, and the 10-year went from 2.4 to 3.2. Leading sector in the S&P, tech. But
I know.
All sectors were higher.
Yeah, right?
We talked. Large growth was best, but there was a pretty tight correlated ascendancy back then, and who knows if that's going to happen this time, but I think we need to be curious to your point and not judgmental.
I love it. You sometimes said that I'm a calming voice when it comes to things that are crazy, and you've been a calming voice in an environment that has really like raised a lot of questions, so love you for that. Be well. Doug Sciocca, CEO and partner at Kavar Capital Partners, joining us on the phone from Leawood, Kansas.